Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center, located in Davis, California. Today, Pastor Matthew preaches a sermon entitled, A Different Gospel? If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Now, here's our teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
It's a good idea to ask ourselves, do we believe in the real Jesus or a different Jesus? A Jesus of our own creation. Do we believe the real gospel or a gospel of our own creation? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit or a different spirit? Evil spirit. It is good to ask that question. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness. But you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Verse 13 through 15, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. False Jesus, false gospel, false spirit. And when the revival is on, there will also be a manifestation of the false gospel and the false Jesus and the false spirit. It's an amazing phenomenon I have witnessed. There are people who profit by the revival. Their life is transformed. And then there are others who are hardened, the same Holy Spirit causes the heart to be hardened and made stubborn. So I just warn you about it so that you can examine your own life and ask and say, whether am I repenting, am I humbling myself before the glory of God, or am I becoming arrogant and stubborn and wicked? There's a revival going on in our midst. Holy Spirit is revealing to us very clearly various sins in our lives. Such self-revelation takes place when God, through the faithful preaching of the gospel, reveals his glory to us. Nobody is going to repent and confess unless he sees the glory of God. This is what happened to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and the seraphs were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." It was then Isaiah cried out, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And this was true of Moses and John and St. Paul. They came to know themselves and their sin in the light of the manifestation of the holiness and the glory of God. This revelation of our sins in the light of God's transcendent glory is not to make us despair, friends. Not to make us despair. But that our sins may be disposed forever by the atoning sacrifice of the altar. And that's what happened to Isaiah himself. And this is what happened to one of our sisters who is experiencing the present revival along with a number of other people in this church. And I will read it to you. August 1, 2009. "Dear Pastor, as you spoke on Friday about examining our foundation, God began to reveal to me sin that was built into the foundation of my faith, of which I need to confess and repent. God gave me an image in my mind of a white horse with a rider wearing a robe dipped in blood. He was full of wrath and was coming to judge. I realized that I had been worshiping a god of my own making, not the true and living God. I didn't like God, who came with thunder, lightning, and a loud trumpet blast that caused men to tremble with fear. The God in my mind had many of the same characteristics of the true and living God, but was a neutered God who understood my weaknesses and would sympathize with me if I bent the rules. Unfortunately, I exalted this God higher than my husband and would judge what he said by the standard of the God of my mind. If my husband became too angry or required something I thought was unreasonable, I would discount it in my heart. This allowed me to place myself over my husband's authority and still convince myself I was spiritual. I ruled in our home all the while thinking that I was submitting to God. At the same time, I became proficient at saying and doing the right thing in most circumstances, even when there was no true submission in my heart. I did this to such an extent that I fooled even myself, and I would think, I didn't say anything wrong. I did just what my husband said, even when my heart raged. I had become the Pharisee that cleaned the outside of the cup and dish, but inside was filled with greed and self-indulgence. I looked for cracks and holes in my husband's instructions and took advantage of them rather than humbly pointing out our need to be living a consistent and disciplined life. because my standard was that of the God of my mind, I convinced myself that I was basically fine. In the process, the order in our home was rank opposite to the biblical order. Because I loved my children, I allowed their desires to influence how diligently I applied my husband's rules. To my horror, I see that I did this all the while convincing myself that I was following biblical principles. I now see these same sins being reproduced in our children, and it is my own doing. Our walls are broken down because I have torn them down. I praise God for His great mercy in revealing this while His hand is still upraised. My heart overflows with thankfulness for an opportunity to repent and rebuild. I know that a tremendous battle lies ahead, and I covet your prayers for myself, our family, and especially our children. My desire is to make permanent change, change that remains. Thank you for your untiring work in proclaiming the whole gospel. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for your steadfast faithfulness in living for Christ. I am eternally grateful. I said, you don't see your weakness unless you see the glory of God revealed in the Word of God. Get rid of, friends, that mental image of a different Jesus and a different gospel and a different spirit, and embrace the real Jesus, real gospel, and the real Holy Spirit. In a true revival, our false view of God is revealed that we may confess our sin of idolatry, that we may worship the true and living God in spirit and in truth. We are living at a time when the vast majority of Christians believe in a false gospel, a different Jesus, and an unholy spirit. They believe God is love. He is not a judge. He is not wrathful against sinners. God forgives. We sin, He forgives. God forgives even without our repentance, true and holy repentance. God wants us above all to have fun and enjoyment. God gives health and wealth so that we might enjoy all the good things of this present life. They say a person can become a Christian by a decision he makes, by accepting the facts concerning Jesus as given in the Bible. There is no need for regeneration or saving faith. Mere mental assent to certain biblical propositions is all that is required. Then the person can continue in his sins. He does not need to reproduce any fruit of the Holy Spirit in his life. In fact, he can sin even more than before he became a Christian. Such a Christian is called a carnal Christian. According to the most popular theology, he is truly saved and on his way to heaven. He enjoys the pleasures of many sins here and pleasures of eternal life in heaven. He lives the life of the rich man here and the good life of Lazarus in heaven. He enjoys maximum fun. He always emphasizes grace for his justification and sanctification. If we sin more, then we experience grace more, and God receives greater glory. Carnal Christian says, let us sin more, that grace may abound. The God of the carnal Christian is an imaginary, indulgent Father. He never says no to our request to indulge. His God is an yes God. Yes, 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 yes. Different gospel, different Jesus, different spirit, different Father. Eventually, such a Christian comes to deny hell and eternal judgment. Eventually, this large-hearted Christian believes in pluralism. There are many ways to be saved. Jesus is not the only way, the truth, and the life. The Bible is only one of many holy books. It is not therefore essential or even desirable to preach the Bible. You do not need to believe in moral absolutes. Moral relativism and cultural conformity are in the church and in Christian homes. Children need not obey parents. Parents must obey children. Wives need not submit to husbands. Husbands must submit to wives. Human sexuality can be expressed at any time, in any form, not just in marriage. To enjoy the full pleasures of life, one may abort babies and use technology to even have no children at all. Worship should be centered on entertainment. Whatever entertains people and make them feel good should be considered all right. Avoid the old-fashioned preaching of the Bible, of the law, of sin, of repentance, of saving faith in Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and reigning forever. Never preach with authority. And never make people feel uncomfortable or guilty. Preach about love, forgiveness, and pleasure of living. There is no guilt anyway, only guilt feelings which are not real. They are not due to transgression of God's law. They are due to only transgression of relative human conventions. Extramarital sex is to be permitted as well as easy divorce for any reason. Sex in any form should be taught as normal in a progressive society. Truth should be defined as that which gives one pleasure. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, etc. should be seen as normal. Buying on credit should be promoted because things give people pleasure. One must oppose every constraint on pleasure. One must oppose by all means old-fashioned preaching of the cross, cross-bearing, self-denial, and holy living. Work hard to make more money, to buy more things, to feel more happy. Let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. So turn with me to a few scriptures. Genesis 3, verse 1. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden? Verse 4 and 5, you will not surely die. That's a different gospel. Go ahead and sin. You will surely not die. In fact, you will be like God. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. True gospel leads us to eternal life. The different gospel leads us to eternal death. You look at Genesis 3, they were deceived. They lost glory, they became naked, they became afraid, full of misery, pain, sweat, thorn, thistle, pest, disease, death, and hell. That's what happens when you believe in different Jesus, different gospel, different spirit. It is the evil spirit. So Jesus came and he said, The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He exposed this different gospel. And Exodus 32, 1 through 8, go home and read it. Come, make us gods who will go before us. Violation of 10 commandments. And so Moses threw it down and broke it all. That's what they did. As soon as the laws were given, they broke it. And in its place, you have a golden calf, the work of Aaron's brilliance. So turn to it, Exodus 32. Why is it you like the different gospel? Why is it you like the different Jesus? Let me tell you why. Exodus 32, 6, 7 and 8. So the next day people rose early. Isn't that wonderful? Rose early, sir. And sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings to their bull. Afterward, notice here, sat down to eat and rose up to indulge in sexual immorality. Now you know why you like different Jesus. You like the freedom to indulge in any and every form of immorality. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people whom you brought up from Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them. Sat down to eat and rose up to play. It is orgy. No restraint. Take a look at verse 25. Moses saw that the people were running wild, that Aaron had left them out of control. Out of control, sir. The children of elders are supposed to be obedient believers and not wild. That's what the book says. And that wild idea come from here. Wild, unrestrained, daring to speak to the pastor himself. I'll do what I want to do. What are you going to do about it? I'm not going to do anything about it. There is somebody else who will do everything about it. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughing stock to their enemies. And go home and read 1 Kings 11, 1 through 6. We are talking about Solomon, who gave us all the Proverbs and even Psalms, the man of great wisdom, in whom was the Holy Spirit. And he was led astray by his wives to worship and serve other gods. And he built temples for them. He abandoned the Bible. He had a Bible, a copy of it, and every king was to read it and govern his affairs in the light of it. He threw it out. He introduced pluralism, Ashtoreth, god of the Sidonians, Molech, god of the Ammonites, Chemosh, god of the Moabites, and of course, Lord. Both and. Pastor, you are either or. That's no good. We are a progressive society. Both and, sir. Both and. What's wrong with a little Chemosh and a little Ashtoreth and a little Moloch? And also, of course, the Lord. I don't think God is very pleased with it, and he's going to show up and cut you down. That's the way he does, sir. It is better that we understand. Jeroboam 1, 1 Kings 12. Jeroboam, God made him king of 10 tribes. And what did he do? He made 2 golden calves, one in Dan and one in Bethel. And we read in chapter 12, verse 31, he built shrines on every hill. Bible was thrown out. Anybody can become priests. Anybody can do anything you want, all you want. Go ahead and sin. But don't go to Jerusalem to worship in that temple. They are stiff. They are narrow-minded. They speak only about worship of the true and living God. I understand what you like. You want to sin and commit orgy and all that. It is all wonderful. We will make you happy. Sin all you want. Have fun. Have fun. In the morning, have fun at noontime, have fun in the evening, and have fun in the wee hours of the night. Have fun! And Ahab, remember 1 Kings chapter 22? He was a very religious man, sir. Very religious person. 400 prophets of Baal. That shows he was very religious. And one prophet of the Lord, Micaiah by name. And he said, I hate him. He never says anything good about me. I hate him. Meaning I hate the Lord. I hate the Bible. I hate the Holy Spirit. I hate the real gospel. I hate the real Christ. I hate it. And that hatred is directed to Micaiah. Because the real God is unreachable. Oh, I see. I hate him, sir. But you read in chapter 22, verse 23, 1 Kings 22, 23, friends, Micaiah reveals that a lying spirit came from the Lord and sat on these 400 lying prophets. A little bit of sin goes a long way. A little bit of sugar makes the medicine of the gospel go down. A little sin, sir. A little sin. Little sin, sir. A little sin here. A little sin there. There is 2 Kings chapter 16. His name is Ahaz. He will not believe in God. He refused to trust in God. God sent Isaiah to tell him, don't worry. He will take care of you. Believe in him. He said, no, I will not. And he became a slave of Tiglath-Pileser. He became the overlord in place of the Lord. And here they went to Damascus to measure the measurements of an altar upon which Tiglath-Pileser worshipped. And Uriah the priest finally built the altar according to the plan of that altar in Damascus. And what did he do with the one, the bronze altar which was made according to the plan shown in the mountain? Put it away. Bible is thrown out. True worship is thrown out. We have become thoroughly progressive and pagan at the same time. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Let me read Isaiah 30, 10 and 11. Different gospel, different Jesus, and different spirit. Isaiah 30, verse 10 and 11. They say to the seers, see no more visions, and to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Get rid of the real Jesus, real Bible, and real spirit. Leave this way, get off this path. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Come on, stop it. And we spoke about Galatians chapter 1, where he says, those who preach that different gospel, may they be eternally condemned. A gospel different from the gospel I preached. And what did he preach? And you read it in 1 Corinthians 15. He tells you the gospel he preached. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. But by this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and so on. That's the real gospel. And he came to Corinth, and this is what he says. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Different gospel, sir. Different spirit. Turn with me to 1 John. You read it and you read the book. There is the whole book. It's about different gospel. 1 John 2 verse 19. Here it is stated, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. And what did they believe, sir? Let me read to you 2 John verse 7. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. That was the central denial. That Jesus is the Christ, the eternal Son of God, that the eternal Son came, became incarnate, that he lived a righteous life, and he died on the cross for our sins that we may be saved. They rejected it. A gospel that rejects Jesus Christ and his cross is a rejection of the gospel and of Jesus and of the Holy Ghost. Turn to the book of Jude and let me read to you verse 4. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. Who are they? Are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. Verse 8, in the same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject all authority, and slander celestial beings. Verse 10, yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals. These are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! Verse 12, these men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit, and uprooted twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom black darkness has been reserved forever. Different gospel, different Jesus, different spirit. Verse 17 through 19, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the spirit. Antinomianism. Turn to 2 Peter. And let me read to you 2 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up, not the real gospel. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Verse 17, these men are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for their mouth empty boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true: a dog returns to its vomit, and a soul that is washed goes back to wallowing in the mud. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, where St. Paul speaks very clearly. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith that is the gospel, the true gospel, following what deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Sir, let me tell you one thing about the false Jesus, false gospel, false spirit. What is the one thing, sir? What is the one thing all these false gospels have in common? They let you sin. That's right. They let you sin. This is where the problem is, isn't it? They let you sin and sin all the more and be happy and have fun. 2 Timothy 3. And you can go home and read it. Verse 4, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There it is, the key doctrine of the wicked gospel. They let you sin, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They are in the church having what? A form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Friends, why waste your life dealing with false Jesus, false gospel, false spirit? Few more years, few more days, few more weeks. So we see now throughout the world and in this country a different gospel, a different Jesus, a different spirit are taught. This different gospel is the doctrine of demons. Those who proclaim such a gospel and those who follow it are eternally condemned. What gospel are you hearing? What Jesus have you been trusting? What spirit is leading you? Jesus of liberalism was a good man, but not God. Jesus of evangelicalism, a Jesus who is always forgiving. Jesus who loves. Jesus of charismatic movement, health and wealth. He's always giving you health and wealth. Jesus of liberation theology. Jesus is a revolutionary to destroy existing oppressive structures to give you freedom. Let me ask you this. Who is your Jesus? Is he the eternal Son, eternal God? Eternal God who became man in history, who lived righteously, in whom there was no sin, who died on the cross to atone the sins of his elect people. The one who was crucified, buried. On the third day, God raised him from the dead, under whose feet his Father has placed all things, who is the head of his church. Christ, who is seated on the right hand of God, who comes again to judge the wicked and save his people, who will create a new heaven and a new earth, with whom we shall dwell forever in eternal happiness. Jesus of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ, by whose atoning work his people are justified, being sanctified, and shall be glorified. Heavenly Father, we pray that you help us to deny ourselves, take up the cross daily, and follow the real Jesus. Yes. To believe the real gospel, a gospel that promotes holiness. Help us, O Lord, to be filled with the real Holy Spirit, who will direct us and in whom we shall be satisfied and be happy. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory audio of this message entitled, A Different Gospel. Come back soon for more transforming Bible teaching from Pastor P.G. Matthew.